Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Another guy who does not look like Craig T. Nelson. He's from Channel 3. He is Jay Crawford. Hello, Jay.
Jeff, Andy, how are you? I don't remember that episode. I wasn't a big Mary Tyler Moore guy. But hearing you talk about Craig T. Nelson's appearance on Mary Tyler Moore's show reminds me, I'll go back even further in time, one of the great television series of all time, and it launched more careers probably than any other single television show, was The Twilight Zone. You can't watch one of the old episodes without seeing someone in that episode that would go on to become a big star. One of my favorite shows of all time. It's a great show.
Jay, you're
Random
right about that.
Of the day.
I can't watch it because it creeps me out. It was so good. When I was a kid, I'd try to watch it, and I would get scared, and I couldn't watch it anymore.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Well, you guys are really old,
because young ones.
I never watched it.
You don't remember it?
I couldn't watch it. No, I'm just a little bit younger than you, Jay. I think about 7 years, 8 years younger than you.
Yeah, and that sounds about right. It was black and white, for crying out loud.
I know. Well, if it's a black and white TV show,
form,
Phelps knows
it,
about it.
I watched it in reruns on like Channel 43 or something.
Exactly. Business at hand, Jay. It's starting to open up in our state. You've been covering it like crazy on Channel 3. Malls today, personal service things coming up at the end of the week, restaurants in about 9 days. Now we have to find that sweet spot. We have to find that balance point and see if that can actually work. But things are starting. Is it good? And is it being rolled out the right way?
Well, I love your term sweet spot, because that's what we're looking for now. We have to make sure that as things start to open up, that we don't have flare-ups and we don't become a new hot spot. And I think that we've got the right people on the job looking at these cases on a day-by-day basis. Our cases here in Ohio have, for the most part, plateaued. Deaths are on the way down. And you know, now we have to watch very, very carefully. Look, I mean, let's remember, we've been shut down for 2 months, and we've still seen cases. It's not like they've gone away. We knew they wouldn't, but it's not like they've completely disappeared. This disease is still being spread, and it would defy common sense to think that now that we're opening up, that the cases won't begin to accelerate. And I think that is the cost of doing business, literally, as they say.
Yeah.
I think that we're better equipped to deal with the cases now from a medical standpoint. I think the ventilator problem is solved. I think the fear of collapsing our healthcare system has been, at least for now, stemmed. So you're right. It's that finding that sweet spot, making sure that we don't flare back up as everybody starts to venture back out. I think Ohioans are going to be responsible, because we tend to be as a group. I don't think you're going to go to malls and see that malls are flooded with people. I think, you know, when you look at the regular polls, many people think that it's too early. So if you think it's too early, don't go out.
Yeah.
If you think it's too early to go back to work, don't go back to work. Nobody's going to fire you because you're not ready to go back to work. I mean, we've had enough people lose their job because of the situation, but, go back when you're comfortable to go back, and the authorities are going to have to keep a very close watch on these numbers.
We got malls today, right? Malls are reopening. Now we're just down the road from restaurants on the outside and then restaurants on the inside, although the way this weather's been so goofy, it'll probably be snowing as soon as the restaurants can open on the outside. Although we got 80-degree temperatures, I saw that also coming in the future. Just as far as reopening things, just what's your vibe on that, especially like malls and stuff? And I know you're saying that people will choose to or they won't to, but I mean, I still think about the economy and how to get things back going, you know, just getting people working again.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's vital that we, you know, we have choked off the entire economy for 2 months. And trust me when I tell you that the effects of that will linger for generations. And I think about our young people. I think about the debt that we're leaving behind. At some point, that bill comes due. And, you know, if you drive by, there's a deficit clock on, I don't know where I see it every day on my way to work.
77.
I look at it, and it just takes your breath away. And you go by it the next day, and the number's bigger, and it's, you know, it's growing millions per second, and it's just, it's frightening. And to most people, that's just a number, and they don't really understand. But imagine if you were running your household that way, and there was a debt clock running, and it was just adding, you know, thousands of dollars. Let's call it tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands, because in the case of national debt, it's in the trillions. It was already, I watched it go from $22 trillion to $23 trillion before the shutdown. We've added an additional $3 trillion to that, and there's every indication that there's going to be another stimulus package that goes through that, you know, right now, Nancy Pelosi's last number was $2 trillion. So let's just throw another $2 trillion onto the $3 trillion that we spent to get to $5 trillion, and you were at $23 trillion. That's $28 trillion. At some point, that money has to be paid back. And so there's going to be a cost to that. And if you want to do it in percentages, we've added almost 25% to our national debt, which was already staggering. So the economy unquestionably has to restart. I think it's going to be a slow and gradual ramp up. And I think it'll probably be a number of months and in some cases years before certain industries come all the way back. And I do predict that there will be businesses, many, that don't come back. And I believe there may even be industries that are wildly affected. I can't imagine the airlines will have the number of players in that industry 1 year from now that we see today. I think it's going to probably lead to two or three surviving it. And that's bad for the consumer because lack of choice means higher price. So it's frightening. I hate to say that, you know, we've got to get back because I understand that more people will die. That's inevitable. And I hate that. But, you know, it's just it's picking a poison at this point. And there's not a right answer. You can't stay shut forever. And you can't open up everything right away. So, Jeff, I love your term, sweet spot. Find out what's working. Stay with it. If you see cases spike, shut things down. I'm really encouraged, guys. I don't know if when you do venture out, I've only been out two or three times over the last 2 months. When I go out, people are wearing masks. A vast majority of people are wearing masks. And we know that it's spread through through coughing and sneezing. So if these masks are being worn, you would think that the transmission would go dramatically lower than what it's been. And by the way, I just read a study last week, 70% of all the contracted cases over the last couple of months are contracted indoors. So hopefully as it warms up and we get out of the house, we see less of that transmission. And I keep saying hopeful an awful lot, but that's what it's come down to.
Jay Crawford joining us from Channel 3. Jay, hopeful is the word that I think we should use about one of your passions, one of mine, one of Andy's, and that's baseball. And now a proposal being presented to Major League Baseball players by the owners. There will be some negotiating, and this is a weird time to be negotiating. But I'm curious as to your thought as to if this game returns, how it returns, and is business or safety going to end up being the biggest concern here for the players and the owners as they try and get baseball back?
That's a great question, and I'm fascinated to see what they as a group decide is the higher priority. Look, most of these guys, and I'm talking about major league players only. I'm not talking about minor league players because they scrap to get by in any circumstance. Major league players only, for the most part, and I'm going to say the vast majority, 90% of them, are in a situation financially where they're not going to miss any meals, whether they play or not. They should be fine. And I think the decisions should be based on their safety, of course. And we have to make sure that they're being tested properly. But even if you start playing, think about the minor leagues. This really hasn't been greatly discussed, but you can't play baseball games at minor league stadiums because, for the most part, those are funded by the major league teams, which are cutting every cost they can because they're seeing their revenue stream dramatically impacted. I think I read yesterday 40% of Major League Baseball stream comes from ticket sales. Well, it looks like that the plan that they're proposing, at least to start, will not have fans in stadiums. So there's 40% hit. And then your TV, if you're a network and you've got a TV deal and you're supposed to pay, let's just call it a nice round number, $1 billion for the rights to broadcast games, your inventory has been cut in half. So you're not going to pay $1 billion, you're going to pay $500 million. So the TV deals collectively will be cut in half. So they've lost 40% off the top and another 50% from the remaining 60%. So their revenue streams are going to be down dramatically. I don't see how they'll be able to afford operating minor league teams as well, which, by the way, will have no fan revenue base. So you likely won't have, you definitely won't have the minor league structure as we have now, low A, A, double A, triple A. I don't see any way that those can operate. So that brings up a question of what do you do in the case of injuries? I know they've talked about expanding the rosters, but, you know, over the course of a season, or in this case a half a season, teams make 20, 30 roster call-ups during, you know, different situations. So it creates a whole array of new problems that we've never had to think about. But I wasn't encouraged at all yesterday to see that the initial reaction from the players' union was that they didn't like it. Nobody's going to like this. The owners don't like it either. If they can't come to an agreement and give fans baseball in some form, Andy and Jeff, we've talked about this before, the blowback in 1981 when the fans did finally get baseball back at the All-Star game in Cleveland. It took a long time for the game to recover. If they can't give us baseball and they can't agree in some form to give all, I think the damage that they do to the sport will be, because let's face it, baseball's got a lot of inherent problems with the demographic dying and the young people just not having the time to sit there and watch a 3.5-hour ball game. If they decide now that when they can go back that they can't figure this out, and I'm not saying they won't, but they better, because if they don't, the fallout is going to be immense.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because I think that sometimes we forget that in 1994, when they canceled the season because of the strike, we were in a total bubble here in Cleveland because we had a great team. We were back to a place where we had, a lot of us had never seen in our lifetime. And then when they came back, the fans came right back.
Yep.
Right?
Well, they did, but what about the teams that aren't in that situation?
Right. No, my point was is that we were in the bubble here, and we didn't feel the effect that the rest of Major League Baseball was still feeling.
No, like we didn't, because we had a young and very talented team, and we were going to watch them no matter what when they came back, because look what 95 brought us, and 96, and 97. But what if we were in the bottom end of the talent cycle in 94? That could have been detrimental to Cleveland's baseball future.
Yeah, the new ballpark definitely helped, too. I mean, that was
– it did.
All of that did, so it's all really interesting. Really, really interesting.
Jay, keep up the good work.
I hope they figure it out.
Yeah.
Hey,
keep up the good work, buddy.
Before we go, I just thought I'd throw this out there. I just did a Zoom chat with Emily Mayfield, who, of course, also works at Channel 3, and Baker popped in for a second to say hi, and he looked great. He is very busy working on the season. He's got a group of All the receivers and tight ends are down in Austin, and they're putting in work. And Emily said that Baker is like a kid at Christmas. He can't wait to get going with the season, and he's very excited about the off-season moves and very optimistic about the coming season. So that's a little nugget for Browns fans to kind of sink their teeth into and to think about what the football prospects will be once September rolls around.
Available on Channel 3 today. We're going to see it.
It will, yes. It will be on What's New at 5 o'clock. Channel 3, you'll hear from Baker. You'll hear from Emily. And we'll talk a little bit about how he's been spending this time and what they've been doing. And he's very anxious, though, to get back at this thing and to get going.
Aren't we all? I can't wait. Jay, thank you, buddy.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Jeff, Andy, take care, man. Be safe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.